Today is the first Sunday in Lent. These are the announcements. Blessed ashes will be distributed at the communion rail after Mass today to those who did not receive them on Ash Wednesday. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. Benediction of the Blessed Sacrament will be this evening at 6 p.m. On Friday, we begin the Stations of the Cross at 7 p.m., followed by Benediction of the Blessed Sacrament and Confessions. Your obligation to fulfill your Easter duty, receiving Holy Communion during Easter time, begins today, and it ends on Trinity Sunday, May 27th. And don't forget that this week are the Ember Days. Big feasts this week. Today, for instance, is the, even though it's not on the universal calendar, it's the feast of Saint Bernadette Subaru, to whom our Blessed Mother appeared, Our Lady of Lourdes in France in the 1800s. Thursday, the 22nd, is the feast of the chair of Saint Peter of Antioch. Friday, the 23rd, is the feast of Saint Peter Damian. And on Saturday is the feast of the Apostle Saint Matthias. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, we entreat you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard thee, and in the day of salvation I have helped thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense to anyone, that our ministry may not be blamed. On the contrary, let us conduct ourselves in all circumstances as God's ministers, in much patience, in tribulations, in hardships, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleepless nights, in fastings, in innocence, in knowledge, in long sufferings, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in unaffected love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, with the armor of justice on the right hand and on the left, in honor and dishonor, in evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet truthful, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastised but not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet enriching many, as having nothing yet possessing all things. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. At that time, Jesus was led into the desert by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if thou art the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread. But he answered and said, it is written, not by bread alone does man live, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, If thou art the Son of God, throw thyself down, for it is written, He will give his angels charge concerning thee, and upon their hands they will bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, It is written further, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to him, All these things I will give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, Begone, Satan, for it is written, The Lord thy God shalt thou worship, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. First, today we want to summarize a sermon that was given on this day by St. Leo the Great. He lived in the 5th century, so about 1,600 years ago on this day, first Sunday in Lent. He had the same mass text as we have. So this is what he says. Grace is present to us at every moment. All of us. But, nevertheless, we should prepare in a special way for the anniversary of our redemption. That means Holy Week. Prepare so that we can relive, reenact, and enter into this renewal of our redemption. Especially on Good Friday and Easter Sunday, so that we can enter into them with purity and holiness. He says, there are very few, even though we should be holy and pure, as we are on Easter, we should be like that all year long. But he says, there are very few of us who have the courage to do that, to be always in the presence of God, to live a holy life. And so we are given this gift, those of us who have our hearts clogged by the dust of the world. We are given this gift of Lent. So that we can regain what we have lost throughout the year. And lastly, he says, also, do not let yourselves be a scandal to the rest of the world. Because the rest of the world knows that you are Catholics. He says, it's shameful. to practice these external penances, which they know that we practice, and at the same time to live unholy lives. So we do external things, but we don't change inside. He says that is shameful, because people watch us. That's what he told the people that he preached to in his time. So we have this gift of Lent, 40 days of fasting and penance. We don't do fasting and penance on Sundays, as you know, and so there are 40 days of actual fasting and penance, which includes the last 4 days, starting on Ash Wednesday. So we can imitate all of the saints who do this, who have done this, and of course, Christ our Savior, the Son of God. This practice that we have of fasting goes back much farther than when God came on earth. Goes all the way back to Moses. He's a great saint. He fasted for 40 days and nights. And of course, the other faithful, from Moses down to Christ, also practiced this. But mostly, we imitate our Lord and Savior, who did not eat or drink anything. That's what we are told. Obviously, special gift so that he could do this, but we know that he suffered as we would without food and water for 40 days. We believe this is also what Moses did, and Elias, Saint Elias. 40 days and nights, no food and water. So we have it pretty easy, don't we? It is for us considered as a retreat. All Catholics around the world are on retreat from now until Easter. We live, at least in here, we live apart from the world for 40 days. Very little food. And we practice penances, don't we? We mortify our body. And if we do not take this seriously, this retreat that we are on, we do not live as if we are on retreat, because we need a retreat, don't we? If we don't do this, we are in grave danger. Because, brethren, we are not safe. If we do not do our penances and change our lives, we are not safe. Do not forget that we are not Protestants. Protestants are saved. We are Catholics. We are not saved. Not saved. We are not safe. If we are safe, then why did St. Paul think that he might be damned? And this is why he practiced these great penances. How is it that he did not feel safe, but we do? How is this possible? This is why he wrote this epistle. He wrote it to you. lay people. He talks about all about his priesthood and his ministry, but he wrote it to lay people because he was saying the same thing. You imitate me. You're Catholics. You have to do what I do. Because non-Catholics will be scandalized by you just as they are by me if I don't live a Catholic life as a bishop. Do not give scandal to people. Do not scandalize each other. If anyone sees imperfection in you, just imperfection, we won't talk about sin. We certainly won't mention mortal sin, because you can scandalize each other also, can't you? If anybody just sees imperfection in you, that you lack virtue, they think it's okay for me to do that. If he or she can do it, so can I. He feels safe. Why can't I? We ourselves, brethren, are scandalized by our fellow Catholics when we see people who are lacking in virtue. We are scandalized. If we are scandalized, how much more are your family and friends led down the wrong path by your example? Not to mention non-Catholics. What a terrible scandal it is to them. Non-Catholics actually admit that they watch us. When we were just growing up, we heard that. They tell us that they watch us and follow our example. This is true. And so St. Paul says, in patience. He practices patience so that other people can see him practicing patience. Because if he didn't, what would they think? In suffering, he says. He lists this big list of things that he practices. And all in his daily life. In suffering, he practices patience so that other people can see that he suffers willingly. And we also are edified when we see people practicing patience and suffering with a smile. We think we want to be like that person. He mentions chastity. Chastity, as you may know, is considered to be one of the marks of the true church. Who in the world practices chastity? Non-Catholics. Who practices chastity? They can't. They can't do it. It is impossible. Because to practice chastity, a person is in need of almost constant outpouring of grace. This is how difficult it is to practice chastity. And this is only possible to have this much grace It's only possible through the sacraments. Especially back there, that sacrament, back in that corner, and the Holy Eucharist. They have some idea, non-Catholics, that they need to do these things. Some of them have some idea of this. You remember this Protestant that came to our door, and without repeating the whole story, we said, you have to receive the, it says in Scripture, you must receive, paraphrasing the words of Christ, you must receive the body and blood of Christ, or you will not be saved. And he said, I received the Holy Eucharist. We said, who gives you the Holy Eucharist? Our minister. We said, he can't do that. That's not a sacrament. You can't, a lay person, that's what a minister is a lay person because he's not ordained. He can't give you the body and blood of Christ. But this is what is necessary to practice chastity. The sacraments, regular reception of the sacraments. And St. Paul mentions this to you lay people because you have to practice chastity also, don't you? All you married people, don't you practice chastity also? In the manner of your state in life, according to your vocation, you must practice chastity part of the time, don't you? Don't you have to do this? This is why, and for you, it is also impossible to practice chastity according to your vocation without the sacraments. Confession regularly. And if you fall into sin, it is because you are not receiving the sacraments enough. It's one of the main reasons that we fall into sin. It's because of lack of the sacraments. St. Paul also mentions many other practices, which we will not explain now. They are all the things that he mentions, a little difficult to understand, but this is what he's saying. He's saying that he has to practice all of these different kinds of virtues, and the gifts of the Holy Ghost have to be present to him. And so for you, because he's talking to you, gifts of the Holy Ghost, he said some of the things that he is referring to that must be present for you also. And so what's the point? Since we don't want to go into all of the things he mentions, what's his point? Holiness. This is what he's saying to you, that you must be holy. That's right. Please do not think that holiness is only for us. St. Paul is telling you Corinthians, you lay people, that you must be holy. And if you are not, you are in grave danger. Losing your soul. We cannot tell you how many, nor do we need to tell you, you yourselves know. We cannot tell you how many Catholics and also including how many innumerable traditional Catholics we know that have fallen into sin, a life of sin. No longer even any attempt to live a life of virtue. And why did this happen to them? Not enough sacraments. They don't pray. They did not pray. Certainly don't pray now. They didn't pray enough. They didn't do any spiritual reading. They were not holy. And so if you are not holy, you are in danger. St. John Chrysostom says that if you do not do spiritual reading, and he does not mean a few minutes a day. St. Alphonsus says we should do at least 15 minutes. St. John Chrysostom says, if you do not do spiritual reading, you will not be saved. Did you hear me? You will not be saved. So prayer by itself is not sufficient. You must do spiritual reading. You remember that prayer, in prayer we speak to God. In spiritual reading, God speaks to us. So you are not hearing God if you are not doing spiritual reading. This time of Lent should be for us during our retreat, a time of great prayer. Remember, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving should be a time of great prayer for us. And so every day, all Catholics should attend Mass during Lent. And we know that many amongst us can attend daily Mass, and they do not, which is fine, except during Lent. This is our obligation. We know some cannot attend daily Mass. They can attend some daily Masses, but they don't do that either, do they? And also, if you cannot attend a daily Mass, you should read the Mass, pray the Mass at home. At least that. At least. Stations of the Cross, especially for those who do not attend daily Mass, remember, we have this gospel today as an example for us, because our Lord and Savior did this for us. This is what he did in today's gospel. Happened right, if you read the gospel, it happened right after his baptism. It says the Spirit led him. And so it was about this time of the year that he went into the desert, approximately this time. And we know that he did this as an example for us. No one was there to see him do this. And so he had to have told his apostles what happened. He told them all these details. And it's for us, Catholics, so that nobody else observes Lent. Nobody else follows the example of Christ. Some of them try to in some small way. They certainly don't try to observe Lenten practices as Catholics do now for over 2,000 years. So he did this for us Catholics as an example, just like St. Paul is telling us. He was tempted. He allowed himself to be tempted. Now you remember that he was not interiorly tempted. He did not feel drawn to these sins. But he gave this as an example to us, which was very humiliating, because we believe he allowed Satan to actually touch him. Son of God. Satan suspected he was the Son of God, since he was so perfect. So he allowed Satan to tempt him, and these temptations are the three different types of temptations that you and I endure: the concupiscence of the flesh, so bodily temptations. He was hungry, and he tempted him to make the bread from the stones. How do we overcome this temptation? Concupiscence of the flesh. All the temptations that arise from our bodies. By fasting and mortification. You remember mortification? We die so that we may live. That means to put to death our bodily needs. Fasting, mortification. That's the way we fight those temptations. And then the second temptation that Christ endured was the pride of life, because Satan asked him to put on a big show out of pride. Be beautiful to see God catching our Lord and Savior and angels catching him, bring him, letting him down on the ground because of pride. And this, of course, is one of the biggest temptations of all of us. And we fight this by a spirit of prayer, because in prayer, if we are praying with our heart, then we feel the need for God. And so we pray as if we need something, because we do need infinitely more than we can imagine. And so by a spirit of prayer, we overcome our pride, our self-love. And the last one is concupiscence of the eyes. So he offered him the whole world. He said, I'll give you everything. That's avarice, because we have a great need to possess, don't we? And that's overcome by almsgiving and works of charity. The Holy Spirit says this to us: if in all things you remember your last end, then you will not sin. So if we have always in the forefront of our mind death, judgment, heaven, and hell, those are the four last things. Death, judgment, heaven, and hell. If we remember these things all the time, then we will not sin. But we forget them, and then we sin. And this is why St. Leo says that very few have the courage to be always in the presence of God. God's always with me. So we forget, you see, and we sin, we fall. This is why it is important every day to do spiritual reading and mental prayer. Without mental prayer, St. Alphonsus says we have no light. Mental prayer gives us light. And so then we are not in darkness. What happens when we are in the dark? just about anything. We've injured ourselves severely in the dark because we can't see where we are going. God only knows what will happen to us in the dark. And so mental prayer, which should be practiced every day. You ready? Half an hour. We didn't make this up. This is what the saints tell us. Half an hour of mental prayer every day. And we will not be lost. St. Robert Bellarmine says, without mental prayer and meditation, keeping the four last things in mind, it is impossible to remain in the state of grace. That's what he says. And so we are promised, if we practice a half an hour of mental prayer every day, we will certainly be saved. That's what we are promised. So remember, brethren, that this is our retreat. You don't have anything to tempt you during a retreat because you are apart from the world. Do not let anything bother you now because you are on retreat. Don't forget. May God bless you.